We're at the Game Room Chicago. We're moments away from Caleb Williams being the number one overall pick in the draft. So let's get to it. Sammy, go ahead and start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With Adam Ray.
It's Hester. Trying to work it back to the middle. Gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester. Inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. And no flag, 92 yards.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast.
Sports entertainment like no other.
It's going to be sick.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a very special edition of the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank joining us here on draft night. My guy, Tyler Scott, how are you feeling right now? You were just saying as we were screwing around, not realizing that we were live. You were here last year after you got drafted.
Yeah. No, this was one of the spots they took us to here at the Athletic. And they kind of sat us down in this very room and kind of just went over really just the ins and outs of the NFL, what happens when you get time and money, you know, kind of some of the things, what to do, what not to do, things to look out for, you know, things of that nature. And it was in this room, and I was pretty much sitting in like the same spot. So,
In the same spot, did they tell you to buy a jacket like that?
Kind of model that for everybody.
They didn't. So, yeah, the jacket here is actually a gift from the NFLPA. They sent it to me before the season started. Came with a shirt as well. All black, says Bears. And then the jacket has the logo. This has some patches on the side as well, if you can see.
That's very nice.
But it's decked out. So it was a gift from the PA. Shout out to the PA. They also gave me another jacket. I think I wore it during game day last year. It's kind of similar to this one.
Nice.
But yeah, so NFLPA.
Very cool. And thanks to everybody who's piling in here to hang out with us tonight. Sorry, we can't have the sound on the NFL draft, unfortunately, because YouTube gets upset at us. We've already gotten in trouble the other day because I guess Sabotage was playing on the background, and we got that. But it's interesting. The anticipation for the Bears fans over the last couple of months has been pretty intense. You know, everybody is looking forward to it. As a player who will be directly impacted by the player that's presumed to be drafted here in a matter of moments, what's that been like for you?
Yeah, no, it's definitely been hectic. You know, pretty loud offseason, you know, starting with, I mean, really even going all the way back to the season, you know, with Justin and kind of just hearing all the rumblings with him and, you know, having to go through that. And then once the season ended, you know, I remember I was in Florida, I think in Fort Lauderdale at the time, and I just seen on my phone that they ended up trading Justin to the Steelers. And at that point, it was like, okay, it looks like we'll obviously have somebody new coming in. But, you know, from there on, it's always, you know, it's kind of like, all right, Caleb. And, you know, you kind of heard some of the other quarterbacks as well. But, I mean, as seeing this time went on, seeing how the Bears kind of operated, it seemed like they had their eyes kind of set on Caleb. So, I mean, really, as far as, like, being in the building, it's been, you know, business as usual. You know, just on the playbook, meeting the new staff, and, you know, just getting, you know, ready for the season. But no, I mean, it's been pretty business as usual outside of, I'll put it this way, in the building, business as usual. Outside of that, it's been pretty loud.
It's got to be wild. Did you text Tyson and be like, dude, you're our starting quarterback now? Until this draft pick happens, Tyson Bagent is our starting quarterback.
I actually did. I think once they traded on, I was like, oh, QB1. I've been saying that. I'm like, yeah, this is QB1. So when we work out together now, I'm like, yeah, I'm just, you know, throwing QB1 now. So,
I know that you and Justin got along pretty well. I know that everybody really liked him. He was very popular. How do you approach that? Like, when you have somebody who, you know, he's traded away. Like, for instance, you know, obviously a lot of things that happen with NFL Network, there's people I'm closer to that I'm not. And if somebody is unfortunately let go, there's some people you text, there's some people that you like their goodbye tweet, and that's all you know, because you just don't know them that well. Did you read it? Did you talk to Justin after he was traded? What was his mindset after the trade?
Yeah, no, I hit him up, and, you know, I just, you know, wished him well, pretty much. You know, I'm grateful to, you know, play with him. You know, I was a fan of him before I even got to Chicago, because grew up watching Ohio State, was a huge Ohio State fan.
Of course.
And, you know, so I was, you know, I was kind of always special for me. and even just the people in my hometown, like being from Northeast Ohio, everyone was a fan of Justin because he ended up playing for Ohio State. So yeah. It was just like a cool experience to play with him. And so, like I said, when he was traded, hit him up, hit me back. He said, man, just keep going, you know, keep doing what you're doing, keep working, you know, it'll all come together soon. So, yeah, definitely hit him up and, you know, had a good little farewell.
Did you have him sign an Ohio State jersey?
Not an Ohio State jersey, no.
I don't know. You know, you're a fan. Yeah, you're family.
I was a fan of Ohio State, yeah, but
You played at Cincinnati.
I played at Cincinnati, you know, and they actually when Justin was in college, they beat up Cincinnati pretty bad. And I think that was the year before I got there. I think that was 2019. Yeah, Cincinnati went to Ohio State and they beat them up pretty bad. I think it was by about 40 points. Yeah. You know, but you know, since then, you know, I didn't go to Ohio State, so I kind of have a little feelings about that for sure. As far as my recruitment process goes, that's a story right. for another day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
we don't care for them.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, okay. You know, I still kind of, you know, tune in with them, but you know, definitely not as much as I do with Cincinnati now.
No, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Also, this offseason, again, Ryan Poles is out there making moves. I don't know if we've talked since Keenan Allen came aboard. I know that we've exchanged messages.
Yeah.
But what's that been like? Have you talked to Keenan or anything like that?
Yeah. No, he seems like a good dude. You know, he was there. I think I wasn't in Chicago, but he, you know, when he came and, you know, he was here, had his press conference and all those things. You know, just kind of talked to some of the people that have been around him. They're like, yeah, he's a good dude. I guess he kind of reminds a lot of people of like a tight end, I guess,
yeah.
as far as like his mindset and just kind of like how goofy he is. So that's kind of what I heard. I've been on FaceTime with him, you know, as well, texted him. And like I say, he seems like a really good dude. You know, looks like a goofball for sure. But, yeah, I mean, he seems like a good dude. And like I say, I'm excited when he gets there.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of his. When back in the day, I used to host a show called Madden NFL Live. He came on and played with us. And I think MJD was beating everybody.
Yeah.
One time in the fantasy space, we were – I'm trying to figure out what – before I get to that, can we make the pick already? Like, why do we – this is the whole thing. Like, Ryan Poles was not allowed to go out and say earlier this week, like, hey, like, of course we're taking Caleb Williams. Right. He's got to be like, I don't know what we're going to do. Because they want – because, like, the commissioner's got to go out there like he's Triple H and cut a promo – before the draft, oh, bring out Eminem. Like, could you just announce Caleb Williams already? Like, we're all waiting for it. It's like, this is like the opening act that we didn't want to see.
How long do you think the Bears are going to be on clock?
I hope it's a minute. Like, also, it's to our advantage because if all those teams are trying to make deals, like, we want to push Minnesota into a panic purchase.
Yeah.
So we want to go run that. Just go right out. I want to go right now. And just be like, hey, like they're introducing everybody. What is happening? Amon Ross St. Brown out buying everybody American Coney dogs with his new contract. Who's that? Calvin Johnson? I'm not paying attention. I'm sorry. I don't want to be like one of those kids who can't identify Darrell Revis, Barry Sanders. Like this is what they could have done like the hour before the show started. Like this is the opening act. You promised us you two was going to hit the stage at 8 o'clock. It's now whatever time it is. But in any event, I will tell you, though, a personal history with Keenan Allen is one time they were going up against the Chiefs. Historically, Keenan Allen had not been playing very well against the Chiefs. So I said, you know, if you have better options in fantasy, you might want to take a look at that. Mm-hmm. And Keenan scored like 2 touchdowns, called me out. Which is kind of a running theme. Right. Yeah. He said, Buddy's a genius. And he like quote tweeted something that I said. And he's like, Buddy's a genius. And I went out and then I did a fake press conference where I went out and I apologized to Keenan Allen and I did a little thing and he was cool about it. And then he said, okay, we're fine.
Sounds like it.
I like it. So I kind of like the way his attitude.
Yeah.
And as a young player, I mean, obviously this is somebody who's was very successful in the league while you were growing up. First, don't do the thing of like, I've watched you when I was growing up. They don't like that. That's one thing not to do. Don't let the older players know that you're like, oh, when I was in junior high, you were my, don't do that. Yeah. Don't, that's what I would do. You don't say that. Yeah. This is exactly what I'm telling you not to say.
Okay.
Be like, no, we're both fellow kids. You did it already.
It might be too late.
What did you say?
I think I said I didn't say exactly like
when I was a child,
but I was just like, I admire your game. I definitely watched.
When I was in elementary school, I mirrored my game after your own. Way to go!
I said when I started playing receiver, I was like, when I started playing receiver, oh, you're definitely one of the guys I looked at, kind of watched their film to learn from.
Can you talk to me before you talk to these guys? No.
I'll make sure I'll check in.
No. I try, but like, are you excited though? I know, like, obviously, you look at a depth chart and you want playing time, but at the same time, getting an opportunity to play with somebody as accomplished as him, yeah, do you relish that, and do you just try to take as much from him as possible?
For sure. I mean, you wouldn't be a student of the game if you didn't. You know, when somebody like that comes into a room, and actually, I already had DJ, and DJ, and they're two different people. They have two different styles. You know, he's not necessarily the route runner type, but he's more so like, you just throw the ball in his vicinity, he's going to catch it. You get the ball in his hands, he's gonna show you how to make people miss. And so then you got Keenan, who comes. He's more of a kind of route savvy type of guy. Not speedster,
yeah,
so to speak. But when you just watch him run routes, you see the highlights. Like, I mean, he does stuff where it's like, how did you even think of like even doing that? And so to be able to watch it firsthand in practice every day. I'm excited to just watch, and then also just to learn, and then, you know, take a little of his game, try to put in a little bit of mine, you know, little DJs, and, you know, just try to make it my own. So,
yeah, that's the best way to approach it. I think that anybody in any walk of life, you know, cause growing up and when I was doing stand-up comedy, you would always come in and guys like Bill Burr would come in and they would take your spot. You're like, okay, so like I'm going on at midnight now. But at the same time, you know, instead of being upset about it, you're just like, well, I just want to go and work, see how it works.
And your time came, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Your time eventually came, and, you know, Kenny's been doing it for a while. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time now. Like I said, he's like 32, I think, now.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, like I said, my time will eventually come. But, you know, when you have guys like that in the locker room that you can learn from, you know, that only makes you, you know, a better player. If you can take it in and be a sponge and not, you know,
have resentful,
and, have just those feelings of like, man, you know, pout, and, you know, all those different things. You know, you can only control what you can control, and that's your effort and your attitude. So,
and when you were in college, I mean, you go through similar type things too, because like you're recruited to play your position, that's and the next exactly year, you're like, wait, they're recruiting more guys to play my position?
No, that's exactly how my experience went. You know, I came in when I went to Cincinnati. Came into a class of five receivers.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, we had two transfers. So it was seven new faces in the receiver room when I got to Cincinnati. And I had never played receiver before. I came in at, you know, playing a running back. And so year one, I didn't start. You know, I was behind a lot of guys. I was, you know, just fighting just to get on the, you know, field for just a screen pass or just a, you know, a run play to run somebody off.
Yeah.
And so I didn't play too much, but, you know, I didn't pout. I just knew my process was going to come. I was going to humble myself. And then sophomore year, I got a few more opportunities and, you know, ended up making the best of them. We had some people, you know, some guys move around, some guys transfer, and I got opportunity. And so I took advantage of it sophomore year. Didn't make a whole bunch of noise because we had so many guys. You know, we had Alec Pierce, you know, who was a second-round pick. We had Jerome Ford. You know, we had Desmond Ridder, who was a Heisman candidate that year. You know what I'm saying? We had great tight end core. And so we had so many guys where I had to recognize at that point, like, it's not my time necessarily. Like, it's their time. You know, they went through their grind, and it was like, it's their time to shine, you know?
Yeah.
So once I was able to kind of sit back and be like, okay, it's their time to shine, but when I do have my number called, you know, try to make the best of those opportunities, you know, I did that. And then the next year, I was the main guy, you know? Like I said, I waited my turn. I didn't pout, didn't have any attitude, and, you know, it all eventually came to me.
Yeah, it'll serve you well, and I think that the way this roster is now starting to shape up, it's going to be a loaded roster. And it's going to have, you know, great players at every position. And I think it's going to be a winning attitude. Now, the last time that we talked, Shane Waldron had just been hired. He texted you. He didn't call you. Mm-hmm. But have you physically spoken with him?
Yeah. No, when I got there, we talked for about a half an hour or so. Good dude. I mean, I like him. You know, he's I like his energy. You know, just kind of high, you know, what he brings and just to the table and things of that nature. Like I said, since then, learning the playbook, learning how he teaches things, gives you some freedoms and things of that nature. And so, so far, like I said, things are pretty smooth. You know, we have a whole new offensive staff, really, you know, from him to I mean, my receivers coach is new, and, you know, Chris Beatty, and I think we did bring back Jim Dre, Titans coach, and, you know, Chris Morgan, who was the O-line coach. But outside of those two, you know, pretty much everyone's new. And so just really getting a whole, you know, learning a lot of new faces. I think the running back coach, Coach Morton, I think he came with Shane from Seattle. I like him a lot. He's funny. But, yeah, no, I mean, like I said, Shane so far, you know, I like what he brings to the table. I like, you know, what his vision is for the offense. So I'm excited.
Also, when you talk about some of the new things, it's not gone unnoticed that Coach Eberflus has gotten kind of a glow up. Like the hair looks nice. Like it feels, you know, does he have a little bit of a beard going now? Like what's going on? Like, is that something like you guys have? I mean, we notice it. You guys have to notice it. Are you able to kind of point that out to him, or you kind of pretend like you're not seeing that?
I think, I mean, personally, I just kind of pretend I don't see it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I mean, yeah. You better lay low, yeah.
We haven't like joked about it, or anybody hasn't, you know, brought it up in a meeting at all, really. But no, I mean, I guess it depends on who it is.
Who would be able to? DJ Moore could say something.
Yeah, DJ. I can see Montez Sweat. I can see him, you know, kind of saying something. Trying to think of it. Jalen Johnson.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, probably one of the linemen too. Cole.
Oh, Cole.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, we haven't like made like a huge, you know.
You should.
We have.
I think it's a new attitude.
I like it though, personally. Yeah. Personally, I do. I think it looks good on him. But yeah, no, that was definitely something I noticed. I'm like, oh, that's new. That's a different, you know, change it. But I don't know. It's this thing, I guess.
Yeah, and as we're watching right now, the Bears pick is in, which is good because it puts the Commanders on the clock right now. We're excited. You hear again, like, I guess they just have to, again, because it's a television show and we're what time is it right now? So yeah, we're already like 20 minutes in. See, this is the thing is they got it. Like if you started the show with the pick, like people, like this is keeping people around because all the Bears fans would have been, although we do have a ninth round, we do have the number 9 overall selection as well. And, they're not giving us any tips. How much outside of the Caleb Williams thing is somebody who's a fan of the sport? How much do you pay attention to the draft?
I'd say this year, not as much. I think that's mainly just due with more so just kind of going through the whole process last year. And, you know, just going through the process, it's like, you know, you go through a long season. And then from there, it's like, you finally get some time. You get some time off, and you know it's a long rookie season. And so when you finally get some time off, you don't want to think about the combine. You don't want to think about the combine and draft. You don't want to think about none of that stuff. You know, it kind of makes you want to throw up, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, just looking back at it, because it's like you just remember just the mental strain that you had to go through talking to all these different teams, and you know, sometimes not even knowing where you're going, and so it was a lot. So.
And here we go. The commissioner is at the podium. Presumably milking this. There it is. I'm assuming there it is. Caleb Williams, ladies and gentlemen, it's official. I can now wear. Sorry. Now I can. Yes. Sorry. It's no. I know this was your jersey last year. Now is it Caleb's? I notice you're wearing number 10. Good news. I have a number 10 jersey. Don't tell me to turn around. And if it has a 100 year patch on it, ignore it. But yes, there it is. Yeah, this is how we started talking. Is and it's official now. What does everybody think?
Yeah.
Are we having? Woo! Do you feel? I mean, again, and it's a tough line to walk because you want to be respectful of Justin and the time that he had there. But does it feel kind of special? Like Caleb Williams is, you know, one of the brightest prospects that we've seen in the NFL in quite some time. How are you feeling about this right now, seeing him right there holding up the jersey?
No, definitely, definitely excited. You know, I've gone back and kind of watched some of his film, you know, because I kind of caught a few of his games last year. And I can distinctly remember the first time I did see him was during the Red River robbery when Spencer Rattler went down. And I think it was his first play. I think it was the very first play he got in the game. It was like fourth down and took it. And it was like a run up the middle and he goes and scores a touchdown. And that's, you know, what I can think back to. And ever since that moment forward, I can just remember him being in the spotlight and, you know, just watching what he did last year. I was like, man, this dude, you know, I think Ryan Post talked about like his arm angles, you know, yeah. just kind of how he, some of the throws he makes, man, it's just like, you got to have a lot of guts to do it and a lot of talent, you know, because a lot of quarterbacks won't make some of the throws, you know, that he makes and just some of the windows he, you know, he puts it in, how it can kind of be off platform and, you know, just kind of seeing how he throws his receivers open and just kind of, you know, you really have to be prepared at all times when you're playing with him because usually we have a saying like, you know, it's 4 to 6 seconds a play.
Yeah.
With Caleb, you know, watching him play, you know, it's a lot longer. And I know a lot of people may say like, oh, well, can he play inside of a structure and things of that nature? And, you know, you have to also look
at that noise. Like when people, I hear people say that all the time.
Yeah.
It just feels like you're just trying to find a reason.
No, not, for sure.
Not to like him.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, you're doing something right when they start coming at things that, I mean, that was something football pertained, but when they start coming for things that are, like, outside of football, like with his nails and phone and all these different things, that's how you know, like, you're doing something right or that there's very little you can really even talk about, you know, when you're talking about flaws with somebody, you know. But you can attribute some of that to also his defense, you know, and, you know, he didn't have a very good defense. You know, I think where they were ranked, they were, like, at the bottom tier of, you know, college
football. Not a good defense last year.
You know, and so being a quarterback, that puts a lot of stress on you, you know, knowing that you're going to have to make plays. And so you may press a couple of times. You may have to try to, you know, extend plays when you know, man, the defense are giving up points. So I got to, you know, press a little more. But when you have a defense like the Chicago Bears has, where, man, I mean, you look at how we finished the season, and I don't see that stopping. You know, this next year with the chemistry, having all these guys come back, definitely going to be adding pieces. So, I mean, you know, I'm excited for him. At the end of the day, just said being his teammate, we're here to help him. You know, I think him being the number one overall pick, everyone's gonna put pressure on him. Like, man, you got to do this, and you know, this, that, and the third. But it's not all on him. You know, it's all a team game. It takes all 11. We have a saying, and you know, at Chicago, it takes all 11 of us. You know, so you know, I'm excited to join room with him and you know, see what we can do.
You know, I don't think that I don't think that there's ever been a rookie quarterback who's come in to a better situation to what he's coming in right now, like a team that's just going to be stacked. It's going to be, it was so close to the playoffs last year, seven wins. We always talk about the three games that could have gone our way, you know, but some things happened in the fourth quarter and whatever, but I feel like that all changes. And you mentioned, you know, talking about, you know, the fingernails, the phone case. I mean, look at my phone case. Like, we're fine. It's all right. Does that stuff matter to you? Like, does that, you even, I mean, you're a young person, so it probably wouldn't. I think it matters to older people who are, like, in their 50s.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you're probably right with that. I think as far as in the locker room, I mean, no one really cares. I mean, it's just like, all right, that's what you do. That's your thing, you know, whatever. You know, do what you need to do as long as, you know, at the end of the day, you come in, you work hard, you're humble, you put your head down and work. You know, we're here to win. You know, if I could distinctly remember, I mean, I wasn't around alive necessarily, but I believe Chicago had a guy on the basketball team who was very outgoing and used to wear dresses and paint his, you know, wear nails and, you know, paint his hair all these different colors.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he's loved by Chicago.
Yeah.
So I don't think that'll be an issue.
Were you just saying that you weren't alive for that? You weren't alive for the Dennis Rodman era?
I was.
God, oh my God, this is so depressing. Like, that's the one that this finally got me.
Yeah.
This is, like, I wouldn't expect you to remember, but no, you wouldn't have been alive. You were born in what, 2002?
I was born in 01.
01.
I was born after 9/11.
Oh my God.
Put it in perspective. Yeah, I was born after 9/11. About
after 9/11, Rodman must have been a Laker at this point or something. Like, oh my God. Like, it's hard to fathom. The Commanders are also picking here, so we'll keep it up, see what they do.
Who are they taking?
But by the way, so 13 is gone. You're 10 now.
Yeah.
I have a 10. Wait, so who who wears? So this is Caleb's number?
No, it's not.
So are we allowed to say who's going to be having 13?
I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it'll come out eventually, but I believe it'll be Kane's.
They showed a photo of the locker room.
Oh, they did?
And it says, right? There's a photo of the locker room.
Is there?
Yes. So you're not breaking this. There's okay. A photo of the locker room.
But yeah, it's definitely it'll be Kane's.
Was there a conversation that you had with him?
Yeah. We came to a nice little agreement.
How does that work? Like, obviously, there's no contention there. Did you wear this in high? Did you wear this in college?
No, I wore 21 in college.
You did? Yeah, okay, you do too. So Kenan also wore 21 in college.
He did.
And I'm like, and we were talking about this before you got here. I wish they would allow the wide receivers to wear numbers in the 20s because I think it would look dope.
Yeah.
I think he would look dope wearing number 21.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, who starts that conversation? Is it management? Is it the player? Reach out to him?
I'm not sure how it goes with everyone.
Yes.
Will they take Jaden Daniels?
Jaden Daniels. Okay, yeah. By the way, real quick, Jaden Daniels goes number 2 to the Washington Commanders. I guess not much of a surprise. That's pretty much what everybody had been talking about over the last couple of weeks. I think the big thing that's going to be happening now is what happens at number 3. Like, everybody is saying Drake May, but I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I don't think that the Patriots are not a quarterback away. And if Marvin, let me ask you this. If Marvin Harrison, like, I almost feel like it would be a mistake to pass on Marvin Harrison because
if you're the Patriots,
because then you've got Jacoby Brissett who can play, you can play NFL football.
Yeah.
And then if you don't get your quarterback this year, like, you know, one of these guys could fall in the draft.
Yeah.
And are you guys taking off?
We'll do about that.
Okay. Well, make sure you say hi before you, Tyler. To me, you're already walking people. No, I'm just kidding. So the Patriots,
yeah.
Do you think that they could take Marvin Harrison?
I don't think they'll take Marvin Harrison personally. I think they go with the – I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I think they probably go with the quarterback because I think at the end of the day, that's what a team needs. And if you can, you know, get a quarterback young on a rookie deal, I think that's the place that you go, and then you build around him, you know, from there, you know, with all the other draft picks and free agency, and you save money, you know, once you feel like you get your guy, you know. But, you know, if they're not sold on him and, you know, they don't feel super confident, then I wouldn't just do it out of like, okay, well, we need him. If that's the case, then just build out your team, and then once your team is built out, then you can, you know, eventually get your guy maybe, you know, next year with free agency or, you know, even the draft if, you know, somebody, you know, appears. But but, yeah, I mean, I don't think they do, but I don't know. We'll see.
Well, you could be cold takes exposed already because, you know, this will be happening in a number. But I've been saying all along, similar to what you've just mentioned, go out there, build a team. Yeah. There's a possibility that Dak Prescott's a free agent next season. You could, you know, trade for a quarterback next year. Right. And not everybody is going to be in the same position that you guys were in this year where, hey, look, we get Caleb Williams. But you're putting a young quarterback into a pretty positive situation by allowing him to go out there.
Because you usually earn the number one pick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
we did not earn that.
We didn't earn the number one pick. That was just the genius, honestly, of, you know, Ryan Poles and just what you got out of that trade from previous years. You know, he felt last year like, all right, well, you know, we got Justin. You know, we feel confident in him. That was his opportunity to build the roster up. He traded back, you know, traded the number one overall pick, got extra picks, built the roster, you know, got Darnell Wright, you know, high, got, you know, Tyreek. And so, like, you know, you look at, you know, some of the things he's done. And then now this year, I think that, you know, they kind of just take the best guy, you know what I'm saying? Just take them as guys. I don't think they, you know, go and be like, okay, we need a whole bunch of picks, you know, which obviously with number one, you know, they got the quarterback and then we'll see what they do with 9. I don't think they trade back. I think they just take the best guy, you know, available personally, mm-hmm. but I think that's kind of their mode. They feel like they built the team, or Ryan felt like he's built the team around the quarterback, and now it's like, all right, let's continue to build on what we already built.
No, and it makes perfect sense, and I love that idea of roster building, and I think that's going to be the new way that NFL teams start approaching this. But I want to go back to the story.
That'll be interesting to see, like, if that kind of changes as far as, like, usually it's like, all right, get the quarterback and then build around the quarterback.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe Ryan started something. You know, maybe it's build your team and then – you know, you might have to sacrifice some, you know, some years, whatever. may not make it to playoffs or whatever, but you build your team, you know, looking towards the future. And it's like, all right, once we built the team, now it's like, all right, hopefully one of these quarterbacks that, you know, you don't usually get Caleb Williams guys, you know, right, generational talents that, you know, pop up, but you may get someone similar, or, you know, we always hype somebody up or praise somebody who's, you know, the next, you know, next coming of, you know, the next great. But I think that'll be interesting to see how teams start building their teams, because it is a copycat league.
Yeah, no, and I like the way that they do that, and I like the approach, and I think it's one of the things that actually hurt Justin Fields is that, you know, they put him into a situation where a team was in a complete teardown and rebuild, and I was even, you know, as people are going through Cold Takes Exposed, and they're like, see, like people, I'm like, you know, if Justin had gone to another team, if Justin was a rookie this year going to this team, I think it would have been a lot different. The Patriots pick is in. But before that, I got to get back to the story. So not every transaction happens this way, but you and Keenan, who approaches who? Yeah, yeah, yeah. What are the channels that this goes through?
Yeah, so like I said, I don't know how it is for everyone, but he ended up approaching me about it, ended up texting me. And that's when we kind of talked, and I told him, like, and I watched him when I first started playing receiver.
Oh,
things of that nature.
That cost you money, right?
It might have.
That might have cost you.
I don't know.
That might have cost you some money.
Might have cost me a little bit. But yeah, so I wanted to lighten, you know, I didn't want to just come off, you know, hot, just like, hey, what's up? Like,
yeah,
where my money at, you know, if he wants a jersey. You know? So yeah, no, I just, you know, started the conversation nice, and then from there, just kind of talked it up, ended up getting on the phone, and we came to a nice little agreement.
And as long as you're happy, then we're happy. You didn't have to buy back any jerseys or anything like that?
No. And if I did, then it would be well covered.
Wow. All right. Well, let's see real quick what the Patriots are going to be doing right here. If they took Drake May, so I was completely wrong, and they're going to go with Drake May. But, you know, maybe somebody else will build the team that way.
We'll see. We'll see. I think what'll be interesting is like Sean Payton, you know, see what he does. You know, is he going to, I mean, now you got the quarterbacks, but are you going to go ahead and be like, all right, I want a quarterback now?
Yeah.
Even though they're not one of the top three guys, or are you going to be like, all right, I'm just go ahead and build my roster and then take my quarterback, you know? But, you know, I mean, we thought that they may take Marvin Harrison, obviously not. So that's three quarterbacks off the board already. So
could there be a fourth if the Arizona Cardinals can deal that pick and move away? Hey, listen, I want to give you a little bit of a break. If you want to go out and say hi to some of the folks here who have been very kind to be hanging out. Sorry, I've been talking way too long. I've been holding court with him, but I'm going to allow you to go out there and do that. We're going to bring in another guest. Don't go away. Don't disappear without saying goodbye. Don't Irish goodbye me. I not only created the Irish goodbye, I created the Irish hello, where I say that I'm at events that I'm not at.
Yeah.
And I do it at the holiday party every year. But in any event, Cole, hey, congratulations on Caleb Williams, man. I'm so excited for you. This is going to be huge.
Yeah, this will be fun.
But go say hi to some of the fans. We'll bring you back. All right, we'll go because I want to go over with some of these picks. And we're going to bring in – oh, so he's going to go. So Ryan's going to go there and meet Tyler real quick and get some insight. So obviously I was a I was not a huge proponent of drafting, of taking Drake May with that pick. Like everybody knows, and I was on the Tape Never Lies Network. I've been on this network, you know, talking about roster building and how you want to start looking for the future. But not everybody's going to have the same opportunity that the Chicago Bears have had over the last couple of years. So, you know, it is a you know, it's one of those things that we do, and I'm trying to and I'm double dutying here because I want to make sure that I'm retweeting all of our stuff, and I want to appreciate everybody who's been joining us here, who has been kind enough to spend some of their draft evening with us, because I know it's been a big night for Chicago and it was fun. I got an opportunity earlier today to go up to Soldier Field and walk around and run into some of the fans and talk about the excitement and for, you know, and we'll talk about this with Ryan. You know, for a lot of people, obviously we've drafted quarterbacks before, you know, and I'll go all the way back to like Cade McNown, Rex Grossman, or any of those guys. This is the first time, and I know this certainly didn't happen with Mitch Trubisky. This is the first time where we've ever like had a guy that is the number one guy. A Trevor Lawrence, an Andrew Luck, even Cam Newton, Joe Burrow even. You know, it's never happened. We've always been like, well, who's the player du jour right now? Like, who is the guy? Like, okay, like I felt like we settled for Mitch Trubisky. Where was it? And this is actually an instance where we weren't settling for a quarterback. We made an aggressive move to get this quarterback. Now, obviously, we fell into a great spot because the Carolina Panthers ended up with the number one overall pick. But at the same time, you know, you could have kept Justin Fields, you know, and I think that some of us were sitting here before the event and we were talking about like who was on board with it. Now, our guy Dakota over here was Caleb Williams all the way. Ricky, where were you in this, in the Justin Fields? As we look back, totally on the field.
I'm his older brother, and I was on the field straight.
Right. Well, no, I mean, but it's. There's only, yeah, of course. It makes, you got to do what's best for the team. And I think that it's a reasonable thing. So why don't we welcome Ryan Heckman of FanSided, who is joining us all the way from Minnesota, making the trek down here. And we got Tyler's perspective, and it's fun talking to him because he's going to be playing
with
Caleb Williams. So it's a little bit different, you know, than you and I sitting here, but as somebody who is, you know, rooted for the Chicago Bears forever, how does this feel? Because this feels different than any other quarterback, any other player that we've ever picked. I was excited for Justin Fields, but I think I feel even better about this one.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, man. When the Bears made the trade for Fields, it's like one of those moments where you remember where you were, exactly what happened, and just so much excitement. And yet, it feels like we've known what's going to happen for a couple months now, you know?
Yeah.
And so, just finally it happens. And it's almost surreal. It's almost surreal. Like, how can you not? As a Bears fan, I feel like we deserve this. You know? Like,
right?
Maybe the Browns deserve it too, but this is about the Bears. So, as a Bears fan, how can you not, like, right now, every day, at least I am. I know I wake up every day with so much joy. Like,
yeah,
it's just, it's surreal. It's surreal. Obviously, how do I feel about the pick? It was a no brainer, but,
right.
But it's surreal knowing that the Bears have a generational talent, you know, like Tyler even said it himself. The Bears have a generational quarterback. That's what
unbelievable.
I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah.
You know, it is unbelievable.
And I mean, I was with you because I had a couple of good friends who were texting me when we made the trade for Justin Fields. And I was very excited. Justin Fields is one of my favorite college players of all time. And so I really was excited for him. It didn't quite work out. Caleb Williams feels different. What do you say to anybody? And this is, you know, because we've been posting content about Caleb Williams for the last couple of months. And then the haters will be like, oh, Bears about to ruin another quarterback. What is your response to that?
I mean, on one hand, I get it. We're an emotional bunch. I understand, you know, we're going to ruin another quarterback. I understand that. But I do think that if any quarterback prospect, you know, in the last 10, 15 years is – it's not even a word, but unruinable.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams feels like that guy. Like it's not about the Bears ruining Caleb Williams. It's more so going to be about Caleb Williams making the careers of a lot of people within Hallis Hall.
Yeah.
I mean, making a lot of people look good. It's going to be the total opposite. He's going to make a lot of people a lot of money. He's going to make a lot of people look good. So I think it's just the prototypical negative response of Bears fans that, you know, we're used to this. We're used to misery. We're used to disappointment. We're used to things not going our way. So, of course, it's easy to say that, oh, the Bears are going to ruin another quarterback. Here we go again. You know, I don't think that's going to happen with Caleb.
I don't. I mean, it's possible. Anything is possible. No. I mean, like, no draft pick is guaranteed. Right. And I think that's fair. And people, but it's funny because people will come out and they'll be like, well, look at what happened to Trevor Lawrence. You're like, back-to-back 4,000-yard seasons. Trevor Lawrence, who has a playoff win under his belt already.
Yeah.
Like, that is – I think Trevor Lawrence has played some excellent football. Like, that's
– Would
that's,
we not take that?
Yeah, that's a thing. Like, I would love to have Trevor Lawrence. Right. Well, not now. I'm happy with
– Right, yeah.
With I'm happy with – Let me – you know, that's an interesting one because I saw this on Instagram. I think it was the NFL who did it, or NFL on Prime, or one of those. Like, who are the quarterbacks in the league right now? And I know that he hasn't taken a snap of football. And by the way, if I didn't mention, Marvin Harrison is already going to the Arizona Cardinals, which is to be expected. Good for them. I don't think that was much of a surprise. Who are the NFL quarterbacks? Like, if we were doing a draft, like if every quarterback was available in a pool right now, and you don't, I'm not gonna bind you to this because we'll discover guys. I would say we'll for sure go Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen off the board, 1-2. Who are the quarterbacks where you're like, this guy, I would, and age and all that stuff plays into it too. So it's like, you also have to fact, like Kirk Cousins might be more accomplished than Caleb Williams right now. But at the same time, if you factor in age and somebody coming off an Achilles injury, it's open.
I mean, Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert come to mind right away. You could argue. I mean, they're age-wise, they're still not old by any means. They just both got paid in the last year. So somebody texted me the other day and said, hey, if the Bears were offered Justin Herbert for the number one pick straight up, you know,
what do you do?
And you're like, well, that's a pretty interesting question.
An interesting
one. You know, Herbert's established. Obviously, he's had a couple of injury issues, and they haven't all been major, but they've been nagging. So that kind of worries you. But off the top of my head, yeah, Lamar and Herbert, I think it's fair to put them up there. Hurts? I don't know. What's your thought? Would you put Hurts in that conversation after last year? 2 years ago, or after the 2022 season, maybe. But after last year.
Okay, here's my response to that. I am a Jalen Hurts guy. I was talking to Draft Dr. Phil, and we were both on board. I wanted the Bears to draft Jalen Hurts. You can go through my Instagram feed. You'll find it, me advocating for the Bears to select Jalen Hurts. So that I'm on board with that. So the Cold Take Exposed guys can go find me on that one. I will say this, and I even last year was a big C.J. Stroud person. But at the same time, like, I like Jalen Hurts. I like C.J. Stroud. But his prospects coming out of college, I would say Caleb Williams is a better prospect coming out of college than both those guys, which would lead me – I would be willing to take that risk. Like, you wouldn't take that over Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, even Justin Herbert, you know, going that way. I would take Caleb over Jalen Hurts, and I know that that's going to be straight fire to a lot of Eagles fans. And I don't mean any disrespect, but I think that, you know, ultimately, I believe that Caleb is going to be better than Jalen Hurts.
I would agree. I think we've seen, and I love Jalen. Again, I was a big Jalen guy too. I wanted the Bears to take him that year. The guy's just a pure winner, a pure leader. He's an easy guy to rally around. But I wonder if we've seen his ceiling already, which it's not a bad ceiling.
No, but I mean, he's a good player. Right. Like, we're not dismissing him.
Right. But I think I'd agree with you. I think I would take Caleb Williams as well. So, and over Stroud, that's.
Okay. I'm going to say I like C.J. Stroud. I'm a big fan of C.J. Stroud, but I think that. For everybody who's like, hey, Caleb hasn't played a down of NFL football. Okay, but CJ's done it for 1 year. Like, if CJ was in his third year and every year was like his rookie season, I would be like, okay, I might be a little preposterous. If you need to duck out to go use, you can use, we have that room available too if you needed. Okay. I didn't know if you needed privacy being a big star over here. You know what? I'll be honest though. I walked around Soldier Field and I got recognized by a couple people. It feels like I go, this is ridiculous. I should not be here. I left. I laughed. I'm like, I gotta go. This I got the ego stroked enough. Now I'm ready to come back. And that is one of the most unbelievable moments of my life. So what he's talking about is, so the Chargers gave me a press pass to go to the Bears Chargers game last year. And so I go down to say hi to Tyler. Actually, we had never met in person to that point. And so I went down there and Darnell Mooney was like, oh, hey, Adam, what's up? He's like, you exist in the flesh. And I'm like, me? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's surreal. David Montgomery did that one time, too, where you're just like, that's like the fans. It's awesome. But when the players, you're like, ooh. And then you're like, and now it leads me to believe that one time I was at a Madden party and Eddie Lacy like checked me pretty hard. And he was like, no, it was an accident. Like, I'm like, no, I'm pretty convinced now that Eddie Lacy knew exactly who I was and was like, screw that guy. But we got the Chargers pick coming in at number 5. I think this is going to determine greatly what the Bears end up doing at 9. Do you want to make, again, I don't want to get you cold take exposed. But what do you think the Chargers are doing here?
I've got Joe Alt.
Joe Alt.
I think it's a Harbaugh pick.
Rashawn Slater could probably kick over to the right side. Who's the guy? Pippen? Whomever the right tackle is for the Los Angeles Chargers, you could move him.
Yeah.
He's not Pickens.
Pipkins,
something like that. I also think people disagreed with me because I felt like if the Giants had that opportunity, because they have Johnson on the left side, it's like, figure out who your right tackle is, but go with either one. I'm always curious too. And because, you know, YouTube won't let us put the Joe Alt. You nailed it.
There it is.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It just seems like a Jim Harbaugh pick. It seems like a Harbaugh pick.
You know what? I'm trying to remember now because I'm so petty that there was a guy that I was arguing with online who was like, oh, still think Joe Alt's the pick for the Chargers? And I'm like, yep, I sure do. This whole time. This is what I'm gonna pause this. No, I'm not going to pause the show. So we're going to keep going. So we're close enough now. So that was pick 6. So 6, 7, 8. Yeah, we're almost up. So these picks have been flying off the board. What do you think about that pick? The Chargers.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was saying that I was in an online feud with somebody because I said the Chargers are picking an offensive lineman no matter what. The guy goes, no, what do you know? They're going wide receiver. And I'm like, all right.
It's Harbaugh.
We'll see what happens.
Old school. Yep. Yep.
So that's pretty. What about the Giants, though? I think the Giants have a lot of needs. And what do you think the Giants do right there?
I think they're going to go with Malik Nabers. If I'm a Giants fan, I'm really sick of looking at the receiver room the last how many years. And, you know, 2 years ago, it was Isaiah Hodgins that led the way, you know, the tail end of the season, and he looked great. And then last year he vanished. So you don't know what they're doing in the receiver room. Actually, it's funny because that's not a knock against Isaiah Hodgins. I really liked his game. And last year, it just seemed like they stopped using him. But they don't have a guy that is the clear-cut alpha of that room. So I think you got to go Malik Nabers here, especially like you lose the juice of Saquon, and you need another guy to be able to come in to be able to give you those big plays, those chunk plays. I mean, Malik Nabers a walking touchdown, a walking first down at least. I mean, on any given play. And that offense needs a player like that without a doubt.
No, and I feel like the Giants are in such a interesting quandary because I know that there's some people who feel like, number one, what are you doing at the quarterback position? Because is Daniel Jones the long-term answer? You also have the offensive line is an issue for them as well, although the pick is in right now, so we'll know. And so trying to think, too. I'm getting texts from people because I was telling everybody, like, they're not – what am I – one of the kids on my soccer team, their father is still a Chargers fan. And I was telling him, like, yeah, you're picking the lineman. He's like, no, we're taking Malik Nabers. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen.
There you go.
And then, sorry.
The friends of your kids, their parents, they must think you got some type of inside information, right? Like, you got a direct line to Ian Rappaport, right?
Everybody always feels that way. And even when I do – even when I do my own, when I do my mock drafts, I don't try to predict what's going to happen because I don't think that that's very, I don't know. It feels like a fool's errand, especially for me. Cause I'm not tied in like Schrager or Ian Rappaport or anybody like that. And I just would rather be like, you know what, here's what they should do. And I think that's
your mock draft last year.
It's the same thing. Yeah, no, it's always like
here's what they should.
Here's what they should do.
And you get crucified for it every year. And you're like, wait, no, this is just what they should do. You know, like
a number of years ago, I was like, hey, the Eagles should take Justin Jefferson. And I'm like, whatever team he ends up going to, he's going to end up like killing it for them, you know, and he's going to probably be the rookie of the year. And people are like, no, that's not going to happen. And, of course, it comes through. Last year – or no, it was 2 years ago – I said the Bengals should draft Breece Hall in the first round. Did they listen to me? No. Nobody ever listens to me, which is fine. You shouldn't because I also feel like I sometimes need to be tempered. I'm trying to think of one that I had that was really bad. It might have been Malik Willis being a good quarterback. That's when I got to wear.
That's where. So if anybody reads my Twitter or X or whatever you call it bio, I'm a sucker for dual threat quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So like, I was the same. Like I watched, Malik's combine. So I think the same week of his combine, they showed him like outside helping a homeless person and talking about his faith. And to me,
that
really spoke to me. And I'm like, oh, dude, this. Please be a good. Like, he's going to be good. He's going to be good. And so I was so bought into Malik Willis. And I mean, who knows? He's still young, but
I believe he can turn it around.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And as we were talking right there, Malik Nabers is the newest member of the New York Giants. So congratulations to them and their upgrade at the wide receiver room. The Tennessee Titans are on the clock right now. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. So, Sammy, if you can put up the graphic, we'll come back when the Bears are on the clock, and we'll talk about that. But I got to – listen, I'm dying. No, I'm not done. But I just want to take a little bit of a quick break, and we'll be right back. So, Sammy, if you can fly the graphic to let everybody know, we'll be back in a moment. I never felt like it precluded them from going wide receiver, even though they signed Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins. You still want to go out there and – get a rookie contract, a wide receiver on a rookie contract for whom I guess Will Levis is their quarterback. But I think you also want to protect your quarterback. I think that's the big thing. And again, it goes back to what Tyler was talking about with roster building and putting out the best possible players out there. J.C. Latham, when I was doing my mock draft with a twist, I had him falling all the way down to the Dallas Cowboys just because I thought like, well, he plays the right side and maybe this makes a little bit more sense. For other teams to look at some other players, not that he's not a good prospect. And I think it even goes back to something the Bears did last year when they took Darnell Wright. He wasn't necessarily the top guy on a lot of boards. I do remember Brian Baldinger talking him up and Brian Baldinger being like, look, this is my favorite tackle in the draft. I think this is a good guy. And I think sometimes when these teams go through their evaluation process, the outsiders – might deem him to be 19, but somebody in that room is somebody else. So for me, I think it's a pretty decent pick. The Falcons have their pick is in. What do you think the Falcons do? Right? The Falcons have to go defense. They've ignored defense for so long. They no, you're kidding me. Are you kidding me right now with the – I don't know.
What?
I don't know what the Falcons are doing. So the Falcons have taken Michael Penix Jr.
Okay. Yeah, I don't.
What is?
If you're looking for words for me right now, I don't have very many of them. I have no idea. Kirk's deal was, how much did Kirk get guaranteed? I'm trying to make some sense of this right now. Is he not going to be fully ready?
Well, I think that if you have an opportunity to develop, I mean, we're talking about like how teams operate. And the Bears were one of those teams that could operate by building a team and then bringing in your quarterback.
Right.
We've seen the Packers have an established quarterback. They bring in, I mean, first-year head coach, right? Arthur Smith just got blown out. Maybe you just go out there and this is unbelievable. But you have him. He doesn't need to start. He can go out there and just kind of learn behind Kirk Cousins, and he's going to be a guy that you play 3 years from now.
I'm just wondering why not JJ at this point.
Wow.
I mean, not to say Penix is a bad player. Again, like we were just talking about, teams have their boards, and it's a whole lot different than outsiders, you know, that think they know what's going on. So yeah, my initial reaction is if they're going quarterback, why not JJ? I like JJ a lot. I think he's NFL ready. He performs in big moments, third, fourth downs, never threw an interception last year. And Penix, I might be worried about his knees holding up. I know he's a big play. He goes for the big play. He's a smart player. I wouldn't have been shocked if he went in the first round at some point, but number eight, yeah, I'm pretty shocked. And to the Falcons, because you were just saying they got to go defense, right? And I was about to say, yeah, Byron Murphy or, you know, Dallas Turner make a lot of sense. And then that graphic came up and yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it is a pretty shocking turn of events with Michael Penix going to, and I always love, like, they'll show the crowd, and like the crowd is just cheering because like there's a camera on them. But at the same time, you're like, this is one of the great things. Like every time that we think that we have the NFL draft figured out, there is some sort of monkey wrench thrown in. But I guess that also means the Chicago Bears are on the clock. They could possibly be trading down. They might be picking a player. What is your gut feeling on what the Chicago Bears are going to be doing?
That's tough, because I really didn't expect somebody like Rome Odunze to be here at number nine. So part of me thinks if you're sitting there and you're going best player available, I think you would agree it has to be Odunze. Like, he's best player available. But then at the same time, you have J.J. McCarthy still on the board and a team that needs a quarterback, whether it's Denver, Las Vegas, Minnesota. You have three teams right now that could be calling Ryan Poles, and Ryan Poles could just be sitting back going, all right, show me your best offer. And moving up to number nine, you're not talking about moving up to number four or five now, it's number nine. But Ryan Poles now could hold the keys to another gigantic haul, because he could have three teams on the phone right now fighting over that pick going, holy crap, what just happened? Michael Penix, not JJ. JJ's still here at number nine. We didn't expect this. You know, I could see it going either way.
What happened?
I love your podcast, bro.
Oh, thank you so much.
I was looking for upstairs. I'm like, I guess Sam didn't make it.
No, we made it. Yeah, we're down here. Like, I think like a lot of people who've been coming through in and out, they're like, oh, like, what do we do? We're kind of hidden. I'm actually, you know what? I'll get it later. I'm close. But did we trade back?
No.
Pick is in.
The pick is in for the Chicago Bears. We're all shocked. It's interesting to see. Whatever. Yeah, everybody. With the Bears, it's kind of interesting.
There it is.
And with the number 9 pick in the NFL draft, the Bears have taken Rome Odunze. Fit-wise, again, we saw him and Caleb Williams flying in on the plane together. What do you make of this?
I mean, I would have thought we'd have to trade up to get him.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's still there is pretty shocking. We were talking before the show about what the Texans did last year, trading up and getting, you know, two of the top players in the draft in Stroud and Will Anderson. And I kind of thought, you know, if the Bears did the same thing. Yeah. I was thinking the Bears could do the same exact thing with either Rome Odunze or Marvin Harrison Jr.
By the way, I haven't said this at all this evening. Thanks to the fine folks here at the Chicago Athletic Association Hotel, to the Game Room Chicago. They've been one of our main supporters here, and we've really appreciated all their help. This has been a really fun event. We're down here in the top golf suite, so it's been difficult for some people to find us. So that's okay. But it's also been cool because we've been able to sit here and spend some time with some people, and we appreciate that. And obviously, Rome Odunze is the pick, and I really like this. And unfortunately, Tyler had to step out to go to Soldier Field to go do the Chicago Bears event. But I really like this because you need a wide receiver room, you know. And I love Keenan Allen; I really do. I think this is a great pick. But listen, he's an older player who is probably not going to be here for the long term. You're probably not going to give him an extension. And at some point, your wide receivers, your top three wide receivers, are going to be DJ Moore. Going to put Tyler in the slot, and you put Rome Odunze outside. I think this is a good thing because I think that we need to start thinking about having a squad that we put out there and not just one or two particular players.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we definitely needed a little bit more depth. I mean, I feel bad because I just – meeting Tyler just now, I gave him a handshake and said, hey, man, I don't think we need a wide receiver. I think you got that three spot locked down. Of course, we go and take Rome now, but
yeah.
We needed to fill out the room for sure. And from a GM's perspective, best player on the board. I mean, could have gone a few picks earlier. So
you're gonna go up soon.
Makes a lot of sense taking Rome here.
You're taking off. You gotta go. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for California, bro. Hey, thanks for being here. Sorry that
Huntington, every time I'm like, oh, this bar in Huntington
Beach. Oh, yeah. Are you the Chicago history guy?
No.
No, I don't know. I just want to make sure. No, because he said he was coming, so I didn't know.
I never called or anything. I don't call or comment.
No. But we appreciate you.
Can I wake up at 5 to clean
the you're fine. We've gone past 10 minutes. We can curse now.
Clean the house. I'm like listening to your show all the time.
Thank you so much for being here.
Here,
come here, sit down. Come here on the show. Do you mind? Get out of here. No, this guy's, he's blowing me up. I want to be praised for a few minutes. What's your name?
Saul.
Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. What do you think of the Bears picks, getting an opportunity to draft Caleb Williams and now Rome Odunze?
Super excited. I mean, it's like, you know, hopefully this time we're going to hit. And finally get a quarterback that's decent, at least, you know, at least a top 10. So now we got Rome. So I feel like there's just no way we can fail. You know, like there's just, from here, we're just going up. So I predict 10-7 at least.
Yes.
This is what I love about your show, bro. Every time I hear you, it's like I'm talking. Dude, it doesn't matter how bad it looks. You're always positive. Like last year, oh, at least 9-8 or at least 10-7.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, dude, there's just no way. I look at the schedule. I look at the team. There's just no way we can't win 10 games. And we should have won 10 games. But we lost 3 games we should have won.
Yeah.
Which you bring up every week.
All the time.
And it pisses me off. It pisses me off because, like, we should have won those games. Because every year, low expectations. I want it for it to be December where we still have a chance to make the playoffs. That's how sad it is. But anyway, super excited about this year. You know, hopefully we get a new stadium. I was hoping Arlington Heights because I'm in the suburbs. But, you know, new stadium here. Please, McCaskies, pay for the stadium. I think we can all agree on that. But, dude, I love your show.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to come out here and do this, is to get an opportunity to meet everybody out here, you know, because I'm stuck out in California. But really appreciate
it. Don't like you don't like it out there, bro. We know you like it out there. The weather's nice.
Well, I love it. Don't get me wrong. This was my dad's whole bit. Like, he was from Sterling, Illinois. My mom was from Oswego, and they're like, we're out. So I got the benefit of it. So they ran so I could run, or whatever. What, they walked so I could run.
I know. And we love that you like the Bears. Nobody's happy that you like the Angels and the Kings. Nobody likes that stuff.
The Kings one is the one that gets
me. Yeah, yeah. I don't even like hockey, but I'm like, I hate LA teams, and I hate New York teams. But, you know, you like the Bears. It's like those people like, I like the Cubs and I like the Packers. No,
that's worse.
Yeah, that's way worse. I agree. But I'm like, you can't do that, bro. You can't like the Cubs and the Packers. Either you go to Wisconsin or you're with us. You guys are with me. I know you guys are with me.
Yeah.
But, so I heard.
Oh.
Sorry, bro. One of your shows.
Oh, please.
So were you the one who told the commissioner, like, you just got to embrace.
That was me.
The boost. That was you?
That was me. As a matter of fact, I don't remember what.
You said it. Yeah, you said it.
Was at the Roosevelt or wherever the building was here. The first time the draft was in Chicago, it was a year that Todd Gurley was drafted, because I remember he had just got done talking to Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there, and Brian McCarthy, who's the PR guy, was there. And I said, hey, you know what? Like, I know that you try to step on all the, like, to drown out the boos and everything. I go, you shouldn't do that. You should embrace it
right, and
let them boo and, like, let it go. Like, if you're a comic, you never talk when there's noise being made. There's just no point of it. And then otherwise, you know, you just never step on your laughs. You want to embrace it, let the energy build, and then hit them with another one. So go out there and embrace it. The following year, which again was in Chicago,
right, was
the first year he's like, bring it on. Is that all you got? So it's amazing.
Great advice. I hope he gives you credit one day, Adam, because that that's pretty solid. I mean, look at him now. He just takes it in and people boo and everybody loves it. Hey, man, you got to take credit for it, right?
Yeah, he'll tell this story and say it was Kyle Brandt, but whatever. But that's okay. That's fine. I don't care. I don't need the credit. I know I'm the real one, and everything like that. So, but I appreciate. Listen, I really appreciate you being here. This really means a lot to me that you were able to come in.
Dude, I was looking for you. You were here, you know. But I found you. I found you. So I'm glad you came.
We made this moment happen. So thank you so much. Thanks again. Thanks for sitting with me.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Take it easy.
And I'm going to bring in the brothers here real quick. Because I'm like, why? I should have done this earlier, but I was come here and sit down. I want to thank some of the guys. Hey, thanks again. We really appreciate it. Still had a great experience here at the Chicago Athletic Association Hotel. We love the game room. They've treated us really well this evening, but I wanted to get an opportunity for some more fans to sit down. We got Dakota and we got Ricky. What do you guys think of tonight? I feel like we did really well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm totally stoked that we got Caleb Williams. I've been waiting months and months and months. And it looks like the Jets pick is in. But, yeah, we've never, ever in Chicago's history had a quarterback this caliber, you know. I'm trying not to put him on a pedestal already and remember that he's still just a rookie.
Right.
But – and then you pair him with Roman Dunze. I think I was so nervous that we were going to go defense because that's how it always goes with Chicago.
Yeah.
And it was just nice to see them go all in on the offense. I love that. So.
I think you want to surround your new quarterback with as much talent as possible. How are you feeling, Ricky?
Oh, awesome. I've had a great time tonight. Absolutely. I'm just happy that we got Caleb Williams. And I feel very hopeful this year for the Bears. I really do. I really think they're going to get at least 10 to 12 wins. At least. That's my guess, early guess.
I feel the same. You know me. I'm going to pick the same thing. So that's what I do. But I want to thank you guys for coming down.
Yeah, yeah.
Appreciate you doing it. And I'm going to bump you one more time. We're going to bring Ryan one more time. To
Shane and Phil.
Oh, wait. Yeah, please do.
Hey, Shane and Phil, TTNL, best show on the planet.
You're literally on my show saying – it's somebody else's show. Get out of here. I take back everything I said. I'm not flying back out here again. Get out of here. I know. All right. Go. Don't leave, but go. I know you guys got to catch a train Here we go. Hey, Ryan, why don't we sit down? Let's put off course. All right, everybody's had their fun. But let's put it before you guys got to catch your train. What time's your train at? 9? Where's the station at? Okay, good. We'll get you out of here. But final impressions of the night. I honestly don't know what else has been going on with the draft. I've been so locked into the Bears, but I think that we're good, and I think that my 12 wins is going to be a justifiable prediction this year.
I would agree. I think going all in, like you guys just talked about, going all in on offense, which the Bears don't really ever do. I mean, obviously, I think the last time you can say that they did was with Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
And you had the Forte, Martellus Bennett, and then Jeffrey and Marshall. But now, you know, you've got a quarterback who's even superior in terms of potential. So, yeah, I don't think the night could have gone any better. I honestly, like I said, if the Bears were going to get Odunze, I thought they would trade up.
Yeah.
I thought they would trade up to 7, right around there to get Odunze. So it's pretty surreal that you have two Pro Bowlers in DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, and now a guy who in a lot of other draft classes might have been the top wide receiver had it not been for Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers being that good.
And I also think, too, you know, again, when you consider that Tyler Scott is going to be a big part of this room as well, I believe that the Bears have set themselves up for success. And you know what? And it's one of those situations, too, that if something happens, if somebody gets injured, if somebody's missing games, it's not going to be a huge drop off to go out there because we'll have so much talent and so many players available. I know that Brock Bowers was kind of one and they thought about perhaps looking at offensive linemen. I guess this is a vote of confidence for Braxton Jones. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think Braxton showed a lot of good things.
Yeah.
He definitely showed that he was young at the same time, but it definitely shows a lot of faith in his ability. And I think I said before the draft too, if we went offensive tackle at 9 or if we traded back and went offensive tackle, great. But if the Bears rode in with this line, I think good enough is a term you could use. Good enough for this year.
Yeah.
I think you might agree that looking at 2025 and beyond might be a different question, especially on the interior. But I think given Braxton, his third year is more than sufficient. I think he's shown enough that, especially as a fifth round pick,
yeah,
that he's shown enough to be capable as a starter in this league.
For sure. All right. Well, I want to thank you so much. Thanks for making the trip out here.
Absolutely.
For being a part of this. We really appreciate it and hope we can do it again next year.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And Malachi and Addy, I love you. Thank you for letting me come do this. I hope you haven't eaten too much candy with Uncle Reese. Otherwise, I'm going to have to beat him up.
Yeah, Malachi and Maddie, thank you so much for allowing your father to come out and do this. And again, thanks to everybody who's been watching. Everybody who showed up tonight, we had a good crowd, you know, people milling in, you know, throughout the evening. It was awesome to see you all. It was awesome to have Tyler Scott here. Again, he had to go off to Soldier Field to go meet with the fans there. And of course, you know, it's an interesting situation for him, but I think that the future is bright for Tyler. And I think learning behind Keenan Allen for 1 year is going to benefit him. And when it's your time, it's your time. And he's going to go out there and he's going to kill it. So once again, thanks to everybody at Game Room Chicago. Thanks to everybody here at the Chicago Athletic Association Hotel and everybody that I've seen. My boy Ronnie, who helped us get it, Ronnie from the TTNL, helped us get sorted, picked me up at the airport yesterday and got me here. So thanks to everybody. It's a great time to be a fan of the Chicago Bears. And again, trust me, I'm going to be picking us to win at least 12 games this season. And that's all I got. So for everybody here at the Game Room Chicago, bear down, and Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube,
Instagram,
Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.